opportunities may be organised workshops to help us absorb the findings of the review, to analyse them and to discuss them from the point of view of all the people of the Rotorua district. Amen. A woman aura.
Thank you for that, Cathy.
I was only kidding.
We'll now open for questions. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Cathy. A previous speaker has suggested that the Māori wards, albeit we've got a representation review coming up, but the first time that, if that was agreed, that could be implemented would be 2019. So that's 5 years away.
Why is that?
4 years away, because we previously voted on it. So under the Local Government Act rules, we cannot implement it any sooner than 2019. So the suggestion was that this would be a good intermediate measure. What are your thoughts on that?
I felt that the meetings that Iwi were having with the mayor was fulfilling the needs.
I think probably the question I would ask you then is that the meetings, do you believe the meetings with the mayor, and you may not know, actually cover the things council are looking in a forward way, our strategic planning, which is what our committees and our operations and monitoring look at? They look at the forward direction. Or do you believe that those are covering past issues and looking backwards?
Okay. It's been in looking back that we have been able to look forward and understand some of the Te Arawa concerns. So you have to look both ways. When I was at the information session that was held at Lake Rotamar, I found it very interesting that Morris, Maori, there were only four of us there, one walked out, leaving three of us there. But Morris was able to tell me of some of the grievances in that. And I was thrilled to see Mark Gould afterwards talking to our CEO and saying, hey, we've got to do something about this. So here was Morris saying something. It was looking back, but it allowed us to make things right. So I think you have to look both ways.
If I may, are you aware, Cathy, that the Te Arawa Standing Committee were unhappy for the last number of years, at least three or four in my understanding, with the inadequacy of that Standing Committee, and that this was not something that has come quickly, and that they requested and were supported in their opportunity to look at a model that suited the whole community better?
Yes, I'm aware of that. And Arapeta has said that they wanted to be able to set the agenda and to be able to chair a meeting. All those things, to me, seem to be possible. So that's why I think it's really important to find out from everyone's point of view what was the problem, because some of those problems can be fixed.
Councillor Stewart.
Thank you, Cathy. You've actually thrown another dimension into the mix. So in summary, you're opposed to the pro-democracy because you don't think that meets the needs of Te Arawa. You're opposed to the Te Arawa model because you believe we should take a step back, have a look and analyse what the current situation or the Standing Committee and why that failed. Oh, I could write a book on it, to be honest, because I used to go to nearly every meeting, unlike some of my colleagues
I want to see the book.
Oh,
or hear it.
So in summary, you want us to take a step back and have a look at all other permutations, like Maori wards, like voting
take
representation,
a step back
the whole thing.
And get everyone together. Don't develop models separated from Te Arawa. Let's see what they can come up with. Well, yeah, as I say, when they're talking about some of their problems with the mayor, and maybe there should be a whole lot more of us in that kind of meeting, would do wonders for Rotorua.
Their memorandum of understanding meetings, they don't stop in the model, just for clarification. Right, your time is up, but thank you, Kathy, for coming forward. We ask Keith Garrett, submitter 1809, page 239. Keith, if you could, he's there already. Good afternoon, Keith.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. I trust this has some gin in it. Look, with shortness of time, I'm going to dive straight into this. Councils around the country have come up with various solutions to meet their obligations to involve tangata whenua in decision-making. The very moderate option being considered here appears to suit Rotorua's particular circumstances, but most importantly, it's one that Te Arawa are comfortable with and have themselves formulated. I honestly can't understand why it's created such a fuss among the sectors of the community. With only two appointed members within total committees of 15, the only circumstance in which two non-elected members could influence an outcome is if the elected members are already completely divided 6-7. And the two Te Arawa reps would vote with the six, could alter the outcome, but then, of course, it could be taken to full council by any aggrieved councillors. Despite the claims to the contrary, there are precedents for the arrangement, most notably in Auckland, where the arrangement put in place under special legislation by Act and National, almost exactly what it parallels what's proposed here. This has now been in place for several years, and I'm not aware that the sky has fallen in Auckland as a result. I don't support the so-called democratic governance option proposed by the Pro-Democracy Society. By having a Maori advisory group and a community advisory group, it's highly divisive. It implies that Maori are not an integral part of the Rotorua community and sets up a Maori versus the rest. However, in anything I've heard, the place of Maori other than Te Arawa in that structure is rather unclear, and that seems to be something very important. I can't see how it'd be possible to decide who should be represented in a general community advisory group without the whole thing getting out of hand and becoming cumbersome and huge. Who would be represented there is a bit odd. Mr. McPherson in one of the meetings suggested Grey Power. When I look around the table here, I think that demographic's well represented. Now, my main interest in all this has been less with the actual proposal and the outcome than with the process that's happened over the last few weeks. In my written submission, I offered some criticism of the council processes and of the online Te Arawa form that was put forward. And but on this, with limited time here, I will focus on the so-called pro-democracy society. Since the council established the special consultative procedure, which is a quasi-judicial process, most councillors have acted correctly by standing aside and have not attempted to influence the public submissions process. In stark contrast, the self-styled pro-democracy councillors have conducted an orchestrated campaign apparently designed to subvert the legitimate democratic process being followed by the council in terms of the Local Government Act. They formed an incorporated society with the specific aim of influencing the council decision. and some hold key executive positions within it. Through the Society and its publications and meetings, they have disseminated information that is biased, untrue, misleading, fear-mongering, inconsistent, and in some cases wildly contradictory. Otherwise, it's fine. They have even gone to the point of erecting misleading election-style street billboards and organising a petition to the council to which they were elected. And there have been some fairly wild accusations made. On arriving at one of the Society's public meetings, I was astounded to find a lady at the door handing out copies of the Council's online submission form, telling people how to answer it, and offering the Society's help in filling it out, all before we had actually had a chance to hear what was to be said at the meeting. In the meetings, the Society's secretary, Reynold McPherson, made a verbal and PowerPoint presentation, presumably on behalf of the chairperson and committee, and gave detailed guidance as to what people should say on the Council's online submission form. Those instructions are repeated on the Society's website, very specific instructions. This is a quasi-judicial process on which Council will adjudicate. To have councillors so intimately involved in this campaign to whip up submissions expressing just one viewpoint is disturbing. It's uncomfortably similar to a judge coaching witnesses ahead of a court hearing. I note that it was Mr. McPherson that made the verbal presentation to council a couple of days ago. This illustrates the anomalous situation that has developed. It would normally be the chairperson of an organisation who would make such a submission. However, in this case, the chairperson is also one of the councillors hearing the submissions. So she presumably felt obliged to delegate this key task to her secretary. As secretary, the content of his presentation must have been authorised by the chairperson and committee, so the councillors involved were effectively listening to their own submission. I've got a note here in brackets, Gilbert and Sullivan, I won't expand on that. The council is now faced with having to decide what weight to give to the various submissions. As someone who's been professionally involved in the past in organising and analysing major submissions processes, I understand the dilemma. In this case, submissions include those resulting from the One Choice online firm by Tiara supporters, those parroting the instructions of the Pro-Democracy Society, independent responses using the Council's online form to make their own points, and carefully considered written submissions reflecting individual ideas. They cannot all carry the same weight. Most importantly, the purpose of a submissions process is to gather opinions and ideas from the public. It's not a numbers game. The Pro-Democracy Society has tried to make much of the fact that only 1.3% of Te Arawa people participated in the meeting from which option two evolved. I note that the 1,900 submitters to this process, including those both for and against the proposal, total only about 2.7% of Rotorua's population. This means that despite all the efforts by the Society to whip up public concern, over 97% of the population are happy to leave the decision to our elected representatives, or they acquiesce with the proposal, or they're not concerned or energetic enough or concerned to make a submission. I believe this issue has been blown out of all proportion by some parties. A key issue for me is that any decisions made by this council on committee structures and membership will be automatically up for review by an incoming council after the 2016 election. However, from discussion with some opponents of the proposal, their concern is that any arrangement decided will be entrenched and impossible to reverse in the future. Also, from hearing some of the submissions here, it's apparent that longer-term arrangements may well be affected by the representation review. So, therefore, my suggestion is the Council agrees to implement Option 2 on a trial basis, with a formal rider that is to expire on dissolution of the current Council next year. This would enable the Council and the community to assess the success or failure of the arrangements in the interim. It would provide the opportunity to debate it during the election campaign, which is where it should have been in the first place. It would allow the representation review process to play out, and it would leave the incoming mayor and council to start with a clean slate to decide longer-term arrangements. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garrett. We'll open now for questions. Councillor Donaldson.
Thank you, Worship. Thank you, Keith, for an interesting submission. Just your final point there about making it an election issue in 2016, where it should have been. Did you closely follow the 2013 election, and do you have any recollection of this issue being raised amongst mayoral candidates, for example, at that election?
No, I can't say that I specifically remember this particular issue being raised.
Could I just ask for clarification? We've received this option from Te Arawa, and yet in your suggestion of a way forward, and we all appreciate that because that's what we've got to reach as a council, you say that it should be on a trial basis, and yet we're here in May to get anything established, even after we deliberate and consider, you know, that are there some tweaking or whatever, doesn't give much time to see if whatever model we adopt in the end works before the 2016 election. Does that seem fair?
My understanding is, anyway, that in effect the an incoming council would be reviewing arrangements anyway.
That's correct. Councillor Gould?
I just want to correct the Mayor, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong in correcting the Mayor. It wasn't one proposal. Te Arawa actually put four options before us. And those four options went out to the community for discussion. Are there any elements of the other options that are of any interest to you, Keith?
Well, I did mention I don't favour the pro-democracy one. There has been, of course, quite a lot of talk about the ward possibility here, and no doubt that will come through in the representation review. Just a very quick comment about that. What does strike me is that around this table we have some very able, as has been said often enough, some very able councillors from Te Arawa background. But it does strike me too that they are here elected by the whole community to represent the whole community, whereas the Te Arawa representatives that might come under options 2 or 3 would be there with the ability specifically to bring Te Arawa concerns to the table. And I just wonder whether under a ward system, those two different functions of representing the community at large, but being able to, if you like, advocate Te Arawa concerns, whether those two might become confused under a ward system. But it's not something I'm very knowledgeable about.
And you're right, it was an adopted option in principle only. Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Keith, for your submission today. Would you think a referendum would be too late for council to use at the 2016 election?
To run a referendum with that election, maybe, but and again, I'm groping here, but it does seem to me that the representation review is going to somewhat overlap any of this. And it might be difficult to formulate the right question, but I'm really groping here as to process.
Well, thank you, Mr. Garrett, and thank you for your view, which again was different again. So we're going to have some weighty discussions and decisions to make. Thank you.
I'm sure. Thank you.
Ask Don Newport. And for those at the table, it's submission 1872, page 270.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and councillors. I haven't put in a great submission, but the thing that I'm worried about is democracy. We've signed up to the United Nations when it was first formed, and it's It insists on democratic processes and freedom of speech. And if you let this get out of hand, democracy is going to go down the gurgler. And to let you know, I've been in Rotorua since I was 4 years old, and I was born on the 13th of the 8th, 33. And I can assure you that there's nothing wrong with the grey cells. As my friend over here, Councillor Tapsell, and Councillor Sturt can testify, we've had many good discussions. But the thing that worries me is that with these two coming on and voting, they can't communicate with the councillors they've got. We've got another thing that upsets me is that we've got three Maori councillors on this thing here, and to go in and vote somebody else up, it's insulting them for going out in the community, putting up their signs, spending their own money, putting their programs across to us, and we voted for them and put them in here. And with these two coming in, doesn't matter what they do, they can play tiddlywinks all day long and we can't get rid of them. So my idea, if you want these on here, that you select four or five of the top tier leaders, including women, and put them on the vote at election time, and we vote for them democratically. And if they play up next election, we toss them off and put whatever number you need on next time. And that's democracy. This is just a kangaroo court as it's going at present. And as you say, I figured out that I was a young boy going to school when the war was on, and I, as one of the older boys in the school, when the soldiers were coming back, and some of them on the ships, they died on the way back, and we went to their funerals. And I can take you up to Mamaku, where we lived, on a farm, and I can take you to the cemeteries, and I can show you where those soldiers, and they died for this to be a democratic country. And really, Te Aro have got grievances, they've got troubles, they've got problems. Who hasn't? Everyone's got them. Families, tribes, countries. And the way forward is for them to communicate with them here, because we've got Maori women on here, we can understand the women's side of it, we've got Maori males on this side, they can understand the man's point of view, and we've got a good cross-section of the community. And if you don't want democracy, I suggest that those who don't want it and want a dictatorship, I can give them a name of a few good countries like North Korea, China, Afghanistan, and any Arab Emirate states that you find over in the desert there. And that's about all I've got to say for it, but I don't want to see democracy get destroyed and this town divided through radical outside influences, because if these stirrers are going around here on both sides, for and against, and they get overwound up, we'll have a whole lot of new councillors next year, and God knows where we'll end up. So get it sorted, and get it sorted quick, and bury it. Thank you.
Mr. Newport? Yeah. I'm sure all councillors take this issue very seriously and their responsibilities. Thank you. Are there any questions? No, there are none. You were so clear. Thank you. He's just strolling in the door. We'll just take a little break, everybody, and if you want to stretch, we'll give Mr. Inslee a moment. We are a little bit ahead of time. There's no rush, Mr. Inslee. We're just taking a little break because we saw you just arrive. So take your time and
whatever.
Whenever you're ready, Mr. Inslee, we're certainly ready to receive you. So for those councillors, this is submission 512, page 68.
Oh, well, I'll get on with it.
And good afternoon.
Kia ora. Red button's on.
Yes. Sweet.
Just whenever. Kia ora. Mai makatū ki tongariro maunga, te aroa te waka, makatū te ihu, rotorua te take re taupō tēkei o te waka e. Tēnā koutou ngā rangatira, o te kaunihiro o Rotorua, tēnei te mihi ki a koutou katoa. Greetings everyone, my name is Selwyn Inslee from Ngāpuna Rotorua. My affiliations are Ngāti Hurungatarangi, Ngāti Takahu and Ngāti Taiotu on my mum's side. Hurungatarangi is a koromatu of Ngāti Whakaue, Whakaue I Hoake. Firstly, I'd just like to commend the councillors of Rotorua Lakes Council now for the courage to explore this interface, to share and part the decision-making that affects the future success of Rotorua, Aotearoa, a place and space that I love dearly. Having been born and bred and educated in this city, I want to show my support for the proposal of the Te Aroa partnership model that's been put forward today. There's no other place like Rotorua in Aotearoa or the world. I do my living and loving here. Māori have more to offer the city and we need to talk about that. Secondly, it's important to acknowledge the efforts of our tūpuna like Rotohiko Haupapa and the Great Committee of Rotorua, Te Komiti Nui o Rotorua, Te Pūkenga Koeke o Te Aroa, and the recently disbanded Te Aroa Standing Committee for the efforts to effect change for the benefit of Māori and Te Aroa. In my original submission, it centred around the Local Government Act 2002 and what it lays out in parts 1, 2 and 6, identifying principles requiring local authorities to support and encourage leadership and participation by tangata whenua and Māori in council's decision-making processes. This is exactly what I believe the Te Aroa partnership model proposes. And recently in the papers, the two legal opinions published in the Daily Post, there must be case law that allows for solid arguments for and against the proposal. Or there's money to be had, good money. I'm in support of Tompkins Wake's decision and do not agree with Russell McVeigh's points boiling down the local authority's requirements to support and encourage leadership and participation by tangata whenua and Māori and council decision-making processes by consultation only. Consultation only is not in the spirit of the Local Government Act 2002. The principles of partnership, participation and protection of Te Tiriti or Waitangi or the Fenton Agreement 1880. Both law firms have strong reputations and I would hate to see more money wasted on legal challenges before we have discussed and reflected fully on the submissions process. What is happening today is in the spirit of that act and offers a glimmer of hope for the principles of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Over the years, some governments and councils have been supportive of Māori aspirations to actively manage and develop their own capabilities for the betterment of their own people. Because who know our issues better than us, Māori? If governments and councils have changed through held elections, some of these have not been as supportive of Māori development. So over time, we've ended up with unequal levels of access to resources, health and community services, and political representation. The way forward, I feel, is to find the commonalities between council and Māori. As Sir Mason Jury calls it, co-inspiration at the interface. Te Aroa want to sensibly develop their assets, people and resources. Likewise, the Rotorua Lakes Council. Is there some inspiration that can be taken away from knowing that we have mutual and complementary goals? The Te Aroa partnership can be a beginning towards co-inspiration at the interface. And I just want to read an article whānau of someone that had submitted in the columns in the Daily Post. And I think I can name him. He's named himself Peter Mullen from Mamaku. It's entitled Disappointing. It is disappointing to watch the furor being created in reaction to the Rotorua District Council's partnership proposal with Te Aroa. Surely in 2015 we can be more inclusive in New Zealand and confidently engage in a meaningful way with tangata whenua. Tokenism is not a path that leads to respect and cooperation. Throughout the ages and around the world, democracy has often been warped by majorities who use their numbers to ensure minorities are effectively disempowered. To label iwi, the co-signatories to New Zealand's founding document, as special interest groups is both disempowering and demeaning. The fear and prejudice evident is based on the belief that Te Arawa goals and aspirations will somehow threaten the well-being of non-Māori. Where is the evidence for this? On the contrary, together in an inclusive, respectful manner, we can yield positive results for all of our community. I believe the democracy for Rotorua Group, Rotorua Pro-Democracy Society, should focus their concerns on a real rather than imagined threat, namely on the so-called free trade agreement currently being drawn up by our government. Lacking public scrutiny, these deals can hand foreign multinationals corporations power to sue should our government make decisions that threaten profits. Now that is something to fear. Kia ora, Peter. Yeah, it just spoke to basically my thinking around what the Te Arawa partnership model could bring in terms of benefits for the Rotorua city and its communities. So the challenge, I believe, is to reconcile universal rights and obligations that apply to all New Zealanders with those rights that come with being Indigenous, i.e. Māori. It is short-sighted to equate Māori well-being solely with universal, individual, social and economic measures. The Māori world is about culture, customary resources, collective ambitions, group relationships and indigeneity. And that's another quote from Sir Mason Jury. So, kia ora whānau, that's me.
Thank you for that, Selwyn. We'll ask questions now. We have time. Councillor Sturt.
That you read out.
Yes.
That's from Peter Mullen, who's chairman of the Mamaku Ratepayers Association.
Yes, I work with him. Kia ora.
Any other questions? Selwyn, I just have a question. We're hearing a lot of concern that what is in the model is really the thin edge of the wedge, you know, that behind it there's going to be a call for much more than this. How do you interpret that view?
No, I don't see it that way. I think we're just asking for a fair hearing and an ability to make decisions over what we can control. Sorry, I believe Ngāti Whakaue, Ngāti Pikiao, Rangi Wewehi, all of our iwi groups that make up Te Arawa have so much to offer in terms of development of Rotorua, and we just need to find a way in which our voice can be heard appropriately. The way in which we make decisions. I mean, I'm only a young fellow. I mean, I've got a long way to go before I'm talking and able to make those types of decisions in terms of te taha Māori. But no, I don't think we can safely say, as long as we all agree what the boundaries are, Māori aren't going to be grabbing for more power in this particular scenario. Steve? Yes.
Councillor Maxwell and then Councillor Sturt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Selwyn, for your submission this afternoon. We had a previous submitter who suggested that we go for an interim measure accepting the proposal until the elections in 2016 and then the Youth Council in October 2016 going forward with whatever proposal they do come forward with. Would you accept that as an interim measure?
No, I think that's on the table now for you as our elected members to discuss it. So it's here now and work on it, because I think if we wait for elections, you know, there's some embedding time in terms of the people that will then sit around the table, and it'll take much longer to come to grips with the concepts and ideas that are in the proposal. So it's better to have you as representatives decide on it now. That's my thinking.
Maxwell?
It was good you read out something from the letters to the editor. Did you read many of the other letters that came?
I did read
some. To have come from one area.
Yep.
And how did you feel as a tūturu Māori being told you're just another interest group, just another group?
Geez. Can I quote from Sir Mason's book? I think, just going back to the English Laws Act 1852, one of the first pieces of legislation passed by the New Settler Parliament was the English Laws Act. In a single statute, the Act made all English laws binding in New Zealand, with a proviso introduced in 1858 that the English laws applied only so far as they were applicable to the circumstances of New Zealand. In fact, throughout the 19th century, there were few cases in English where English law was held to be inapplicable unless the New Zealand legislature had especially enacted contrary legislation. It was an economic use of parliamentary time that spared the colonial politicians the task of developing a whole raft of laws specific to the new colony. Instead, it was largely taken for granted that if the laws worked in England, they should work in New Zealand. New Zealand, therefore, not only inherited aspects of British legal and constitutional systems, but common law and statute law also. So, coming over here. But the point of that law and culture are intimately linked, and English law in 1854 was much a product of an ethnic English culture, as Māori law was a product of tribal worldviews. From that perspective, the English Laws Act in 1854 was New Zealand's first race-based policy, built on the presumption that English common law had a universal dimension. The culture, customs and conventions of British law were imposed on all New Zealanders to the benefit of the few. At that time, Māori outnumbered settlers. So going back to your question, Matua, we're not a special interest group, we're Indigenous, if I get this right, the Declaration of the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Rights have laid out quite explicitly our roles and those that accrue from being Indigenous. So we're not a special group. We are foundational people of Aotearoa. So yes, I admit that there are other interest groups, other Indigenous groups, or not Indigenous, other ethnic groups that live in Rotorua, Aotearoa. But Māori here, we're here first. We koha the land that this building sits on. It's a substantial koha to this establishment of Rotorua, and that can't be overlooked. So as a Māori, a young man, I stand here just to say, give it the respect that it's due. And yes, I respect Peter, who's from Peter Mullins, the Mamaku Residents Association chair. He's married a Māori woman here in Aotearoa. He's from Ireland, and I totally respect that he's just become a new citizen. But that still, and that gives him rights. But Māori, as Indigenous tangata whenua, holds something special, a taonga. And I'm just here to say that we're here to support and want to support this proposal, because we have goals and aspirations, but we also have resources that we want to put to these common goals as well. We just have to find a way to make that happen amongst us.
One last question, but we are over time.
Oh, sorry.
I've just got one question. Yes, and I then just want to role play with you, Selwyn.
Yeah.
You and Kingi are the nominated people from Te Arawa on the Operations and Monitoring Committee. I want to know how it works. Are you going to bring the issues pertaining to Te Arawa to the table, or do you want to say on all issues that come before the Operations and Monitoring Committee? Because this is where I think there's a little bit of fear-mongering going on in the community, that two unelected people are going to have a full say on all issues that come before that committee.
Well, in terms of attending meetings, there would be an agenda around, you know, that would be talked to at any particular meeting.
Yep.
I would want to learn what the functions of the Operations and Monitoring Committee are all about, and then I'd be in a better position to make more informed decisions on behalf of what that committee is there to serve, and what Te Arawa's perspective is around that, and then, you know, put my kōrero forward from there.
And finally, you are aware that if you make a decision at the committee level, the full council can chuck it out.
The full council can chuck it out?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if that's the power that the council holds, and the decisions made at that committee are as bad as they might be to have the full committee chuck them out, then so be it. But, I mean, why have a committee meeting and make dumb decisions anyway so you guys can all chuck them out?
Well,
what's the point? It has happened? Okay.
Well, because certain people haven't been
here. We shouldn't keep interacting. Councillor Rokau will take the final question of the day.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Tēnā koeu, and thank you for your presentation this afternoon. You would be familiar with the decision handed down by the Environmental Court in 2012.
Yes.
Right, and Ngāti Pikihau had asked that their voice be heard.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. They went to the Environmental Court, and it's cost the ratepayers over $1 million so far. And that issue has not yet been addressed.
Right.
So do you believe that the Te Arawa proposal, as presented, and the options presented to us, will go some way to allowing the voice of Te Arawa to be heard, irrespective of whether it's Ngāti Pikiao, Uanuku Kōpaku, or...
Yes, I do, if the right people are elected to those particular bodies. We've got some very talented people in Te Arawa, highly qualified, highly specialised people in Te Arawa. So if those people are at the table for those issues, then definitely yes. Cool, thank you.
Before us, and that is our last submitter. Before we close, for councillors, just so everybody has a chance to read them, you've all got a copy of those extra submissions for Monday. I'll get to you in a minute. For Monday, so that you can have a chance to read them before Monday. I'm not sure yet just whether it's a full day or a half day. We'll get to you as soon as we can. Councillor Donaldson, you had a question.
Thank you, Worship. Also for Monday, before we wrap up this process, there have been issues raised by two submitters and by some of my colleagues, and it's a question for the Chief Executive. So the process going forward, there's been a challenge today from Mr. Garrett and I think on Friday directly by Mr. Cooks and Ua about the participation of councillors in the process past the end of the hearing process, so when we move on to decision-making. And that's specifically around any predetermined bias issue related to membership of the pro-democracy society. So my question is, will the Chief Executive have legal advice or a report for us before we conclude or at the conclusion of hearings so that we know the process and where we all stand going forward?
So, councillors, this is a request that was actually previously made. My intention is to table a report at the conclusion of this process to council for your consideration on the matter.
For being here, some of you all day, some of you right throughout the hearings, which shows the level of interest. I thank you for that. We'll be very clear before the end of the week on the length of time on Monday. So thank you, everybody, and I declare this day's meeting closed.
Still got some meetings to...
No, I've been...
I mean, communications and conference calls. And...
No, well, I think that's finished. I do have a media advisor, you know.
Did you hear? I remember I heard Mike Hoskins this morning. He had...